On to matters education this morning, and we know that as the matric class of 2018 settles into a rhythm of their final exams, an education expert has warned us and warned them not to become complacent, thinking that the worst is behind them, but instead to knuckle down and give it their best sustained effort right until the end. Nolo Payne, Head of Information and Communication Technology Faculty at the Independent Institute of Education. I hope they've given you a double door for this title, Nolo, and they've actually put you in a nice office out there, says that the reason for not relaxing now, with mostly the easier subjects remaining, is because small aggregate differences, whether in a specific subject or overall subjects, can significantly influence options after school. And I think we're looking at possibly maybe university entrance, and that is one of the most important things. Nolo, very good morning to you, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Zane.
Nola, how important is it to sort of not lose steam at this moment for matriculants and for parents?
I think it's very important. You know, the reason being they've put the difficult subjects at the beginning of the exams, like your maths paper one, maths paper two. So those were the ones that everybody panicked about. You know, those are the difficult ones. They've put in this effort. They've written them. And there's always a danger now you've got past the difficult subjects to sort of take it easy and relax. And normally that happens if you think you did okay in a paper. I mean, you don't have to have an A, but if you think you did better than you thought you would or something, it's sort of that relief that you feel. So there's either that, or it could be the other way, in that you really had a disastrous paper and you feel moodeless, as you say, you know, and you give sort of feel like you want to give up. So there's those two different options. And really the message is, the paper is behind you. There's nothing you can do about it now. So you've just got to try and forget about it and move on. If you've done badly, don't panic. You know, don't anticipate that you're going to have such difficult papers for the rest of the exams. So you just let it go. Focus on what you've got still to do. And if you put in the extra effort now, you could actually raise the marks that you expected, and that could sustain the average that you need at the end to get into your higher education institution, for example. And again, the opposite is true. If you think you've done well, don't sort of say, okay, I've done well in that and I'm going to be fine, and sort of not put as much effort into the others. You need to just sustain that work, you know, work slowly, plod away. It really is a marathon, the whole exams. And it's been like that, I would say, from July, August with the prelims. So it's a marathon. You've got this long bit at the end of the year when everybody's exhausted. It's not a race to the end. And I think it's difficult to maintain that motivation and that hard work and the concentration at this time of the year.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody's exhausted at this time of the year.
It's kind of like normal to start feeling fatigued, you know, towards the end of your papers and stuff. But there's still a long way. I mean, we're just in the 1st of November, and I think a number of subjects will finish in the 2nd and the 3rd week of November only for matriculants. And if you, for instance, written a good paper at the beginning, you know, and you feel very confident about that good paper that you wrote in the beginning, that should actually just boost your confidence going forward. So how should they plan or plot the way that they'll tackle the last few papers that they still got left?
I think it's a mindset, a lot of it. You know, just keep up the motivation. You need to you know, maintain, if you've done well, you've obviously done something right in your study timetable or the way you've studied. Maintain that, and you've got to really look at the bigger picture. So just keep, it's really about motivation. Just keep yourself going, you know, eat healthily, restrict your time on social media, you know, get out there, get some fresh air and exercise. And again, parents can do a lot to support their kids that are writing matric, and they shouldn't panic. I mean, that's quite an influential thing, and I don't think parents actually understand how much it influences their kids' ability to focus and to concentrate on studying. You know, as parents, we get anxious. It's sort of out of our control. We can say, go and study, go and do this, you know, but we are not there to write the paper. So I think we don't panic. Trust your kid that they're going to study and put in the effort. And it's really just a lot of family support now. for the student to focus on keeping healthy, focusing to the looking at the end result, looking at what if they what they do, that it's going to help them be successful in their career. So it's really around that kind of motivating yourself and just keeping yourself on the right path.
Chatting this morning to Head of Information and Communications Technology Faculty at the Independent Institute of Education, Nola Payne. And she chats to us about matrix, about not resting on your laurels, combating fatigue. And Nola says, listen, guys, matric is a marathon. It's not a race to the end. You need to have sustained energy all the way through and until the last minute. So study methods and sort of study timetables and especially study methods is what I would like to chat about here. How effective and how should the matrix at this particular time, they've now written one or two exams and they, does the study method change from one subject to another subject? Do you just sort of retain that consistency going through with the study method that you have?
I think we all have our different ways of studying. You know, some people like to do exercises and write things down in summaries. Others like to maybe read something else and then listen to themselves, reading that kind of information to themselves on headphones. There's various ways. I think by now they should have established a successful method of studying for themselves. They've just written prelims, you know, August, September, and depending on those results, they can actually gauge whether their method was the right one for them or if there were some tweaks to be made. And I think the most important study method or hint that I can give you now is the summaries that you made for your prelim exams. Hopefully they weren't thrown away. Those summaries could provide you with a good core or basis that you can base your studying on. You know, hopefully the summaries were detailed enough and they covered everything that was necessary. And lessons could have been learned from the prelims. So maybe you'd left something out. So my recommendation would be write past papers, do exercises, take your summaries from your previous exams and focus on those at the moment.
You know, if you look at me, for instance, Nola, and we're chatting to Nola about this entire matric exam, which becomes such a big scare in terms for a family. And you kind of like say to yourself, no, man, you know, this is absolutely ridiculous. But even an assessment for a grade one becomes a big issue in my house, for instance. It's a massive issue because we, you know, this child has been sort of fearing this this whole situation of our assessment starts on the 6th of November. And she knows when it starts. She's counting the days down to it. And this is in grade one. But in terms of family support, Nola, and guardians and most people around that, what are the sort of practical steps? Because a lot of people say that you need family support. You as a parent, you need to go in there and support this matric student. You need to be there for them. So is it just a simple thing of making a cup of coffee and a sandwich from time to time or just checking up on them? Because this is the period in which matriculants commit suicide and go into depression.
No, exactly. And I think that, and I don't want to say it's parents' pressure or peer pressure or anything. I think it's something that is built up over the years. And it probably, like you say, it starts in grade one, where it's the parents' attitude and anxiety, really, that ingrains or entrenches this kind of anxiety around exams from building. So if it's something you've had this anxiety around exams for most of your schooling life, it now builds up to this excruciating kind of pressure that you may feel in the matric exams. So I would, you know, for parents and for students themselves, not look at an exam as a be-all and end-all, and there will always be other opportunities if you don't do well. And try to make, think that an exam, you're going in there, it's not any kind of competition with anybody else. It's just to prove what you know to someone, and there shouldn't be that anxiety around it. It should just be, I'm doing my best, and if my best is not as good as I thought it would be, I can try other options or do other things. You know, for example, a lot of people don't know. If, you know, you may have had your eyes set on a particular career, you apply at an institute of higher learning, they will give you a provisional acceptance based on your grade 11 results normally. So you may have had good grade 11 results, and now come at the end of matric, your results weren't as good as those that you had applied with, and they're going to say, sorry, you're not accepted for your degree study of choice. That's not the end of it. There are, especially at the private higher institutions, there are the options of higher certificates. If you do a higher certificate, maybe in the discipline that you would like to do it in, or a general one, when you finish that higher certificate, you can then go into a degree. So you don't actually have to have a bachelor pass at the end of the track to do a degree. You could have a diploma pass or a higher certificate pass, and just with that extra year of doing a higher certificate, you can then go into the degree of your dreams.
Yeah.
So it's never the end of the road, and nobody should view it as this disastrous thing that you need to take your own life, you know, over.
I quite agree with you, because, you know, at the end of the day, Nola, I'm sitting. I was a teacher for so many years and graduated and did my postgraduate for teaching, and here I'm sitting as a broadcaster this morning. So, yeah, Nola Payne, thank you for your time and your advice, a House of Head of Information and Communications Technology at the Faculty at the Independent Institute of Education.
K-Talk, your text messages to 31566.